The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken ate a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palace right across the river through the woods from where Granny likes a light buzz this evening. So she said, bring me out the Wonder Woman 50%. I said, I got you covered, Granny, in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. Custom plastic bags, you're ready to traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should be all my friend to come around, flash a flash of party up, rats on the west side, peppers up town, but the best is tied to tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be shaking it up. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight, 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. So far, so good tonight in the NHL. Having a rough night, Mafia, with my picks. I got to tell you, I really suck. I had the Canadiens over the Senators. 3-1 Montreal wins. Cover! I had the Blue Jackets over the hot Red Wings. Meanwhile, the Blue Jackets have been struggling miserably. Blue Jackets win 4-1. Cover! I had your Rangers over the Sabres because the Sabres suck. 3-2 Rangers at the Garden. Cover! Islanders, I took over the Devils at the Rock. 2-1 Islanders. Cover! No Sid Crosby tonight. I still went with the Penguins, and I told you to take the goal and a half. Penguins win 5-2. Cover! Sorry, I'm 5-0 in the NHL so far tonight. Sorry about that. I don't want to, you know, hit too many games for you. The Jets lead the Canucks after two periods in Farrellipack, 3-2. I'm on the Jets. Canes, I'm on in Smashville. They lead 3-0 Carolina after two. And then I took the Lightning in Dallas. They're in the second, 9 left. Tampa's up 1-0. Mafia said, I'm soft and that I will not go 8-0. He did say that earlier, even though I bet on his Rangers. He still said, I'm soft, and I won't go 8-0. It's unbelievable. NBA going on right now. Spurs lead the Knicks by 10. 3 left in the third. I'm on the Spurs. And I was actually, let me get this straight, Mafia. I think they were actually, at the end of the day, weren't they getting 1.5? I think the Knicks were favored by 1.5. When it opened up, the Spurs were favored by 3.5. Then it swung to the Spurs getting 1.5. They're up 10 right now, 3 left in the third. And then the Clippers are about to lose to the Celtics in Boston. There's 26 seconds left, 113-109 Boston. Boston was getting 4.5. And no Kawhi. He got scratched like game time. And I knew my bet was down the drain. If they don't have Kawhi and BG playing, they ain't winning. I don't care who they play. It's simple as that. Real simple. The minute I saw Claw scratched, I was like, oh, there goes my bet. Nuggets 60-50 leading the Bucks in Brewtown right now. Under a minute left in the first half. And the Hawks stun the Heat. 94-80 in Miami, halting the Heat winning streak. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench, Pharrell with Mafia on Sports Grid Radio Network. On a Tuesday night, again, toll free 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. So the Heat lose, which I was stunned that the lowly Hawks beat them in Miami. Talk about walking through the paces. The Heat get whacked by 14 at home. That is just not even happening. There's always a game every night that I'm stunned by in betting, and that's it right there. That game right there. I didn't see that coming. Atlanta by 14. Grizzlies beat the Wizards 125-111 in D.C. So the Grizzlies mean business. You can say whatever you want about that team, Jenkins' team. They're a game over 500. Washington, 7 games under 500. Ja Morant at 35 and 10 dimes. DeAnthony Melton and Dylan Brooks each added 20 points for the Grizzlies. Getting ready to go after this Celtic game is the Suns-Lakers in Lipstick City at Staples. Last line, Phoenix minus 1. That's the last game of the night. What a night it's been in college basketball, Moff. Crazy. Going on late. Michigan State up 4 on Indiana. Minute 47 left. I might have to turn that game on here last second. Last second switch, Mafia. Duke has taken the lead in overtime over Georgia Tech. They were down late in the game, 6. They tied it, went to overtime. They're up 2 right now at the first 30 of overtime in Atlanta. 66-64 Blue Devils. Ole Miss leads Kentucky 32-29 at the half. LSU blowing out Vanderbilt in the Bayou. Purdue at the half up 2 on Wisconsin. Marquette and DePaul tied at the half. Memphis up on South Florida 13 at the half. Pitt beat Wake. Baylor in overtime 94-89 over West Virginia. Illinois smacked Michigan 76-53 at Chrysler. Bama rolls by 12 over Auburn. Texas big over Iowa State.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest,
am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So Arkansas blew out South Carolina 101-73. They were my number one play tonight from today on Coast to Coast. I told you the Hogs need to go down to Columbia and smack that ass because South Carolina has been terrible all season. And Arkansas has been fantastic. The Hogs and Musselman, Eric's done a great job on them. All I know is that had to happen. 101-73, they blow them out. The Alabama win over Auburn was 12. Texas 81-67 over Iowa State and Ames. Texas Tech by 20 over TCU. There you go. How about this upset? Fresno beat Boise in Boise by 3. And then in the Horizon quarters, Cleveland State in overtime over Purdue Fort Wayne by 4. And that was in triple overtime. Northern Kentucky beat Detroit Mercy 70-69. They were getting one. I gave you that upset. Milwaukee, I gave you plus 14.5 over Wright State in overtime. They beat them 94-92. Milwaukee wins it. Tulsa was getting 4 at UCF. They pushed. UCF won at 73-69. Xavier lost to Georgetown. That's embarrassing. It really is. 72-66. Georgetown wins, honestly. I mean, seriously. You're sitting there 13-6. They're 9-11, and you lose to them. I don't care where you played a game. You got it. You cannot lose to some team that's 8-11. Honestly. Ball State absolutely destroyed Eastern Michigan, 100-65. Western Michigan by 10 over Northern Illinois. Miami of Ohio, I gave you Miami of Ohio. And they were getting a boatload of points against Bowling Green, 7. And they won in overtime, 84-79. Oakland over Youngstown State. I took Youngstown State in 4. They lost by 4 in overtime. They pushed. And that's everything. I have to tell you, I watched the several of these games, namely Baylor and the their win and the Illinois win. So as far as Illinois goes, just so you know, let's just be clear. They kicked Michigan's ass tonight at Chrysler like no other. And I had Illinois in the points. I thought that they would show up and give Michigan a game. As I said on Coast to Coast today, I had Illinois in 8.5. I think that line moved to like 6.5, something like that. I can't remember, but it was something like that, Mafia, when we did Coast to Coast. But Illinois covered the spread. I thought Michigan would win the game at Chrysler. They didn't, so I split that in half. All I know is Illinois looked fantastic. And, I mean, they won that game by, I thought, just dominating physically and on the boards. They got everything. They got every loose ball, every rebound, every block out. They pushed Michigan around. I couldn't believe it. I haven't seen anyone do that to Michigan the entire season. Michigan's ranked number 2 in the land. Not anymore. As Illinois, ranked 4th, knocks them off. Now you're going to go back to Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois, Michigan will be your top 4. They're not going to let Michigan fall that much. They love Michigan too much. These committees, these rankings, the AP, the coaches, they just love Michigan and everything. They love Michigan in football, and they haven't won in 10 years. I mean, they'll rank Michigan in football every year. Even if they haven't won in 40 years, they'd still rank them. It's a joke. But whatever. I think Michigan's had a great basketball season under Juwan Howard, but tonight they got humiliated. I mean, they got just absolutely worked. And remember, Illinois wasn't even playing with their best player. And, you know, still they got Frazier with 22. Curbelo had 17, the guard. I thought they looked really good. They shot 46, almost 47%. Meanwhile, Michigan, 34%. They shot 28% from downtown. They only shot 7 threes in the game and made 2 of them. They got out-rebounded 42-26. That says it all, doesn't it? I didn't even know the number. I just knew I watched the game, and Michigan never got one rebound. I mean, at the end of the day, 42-26 in rebounds, you got your ass beat. That's just all there is to it. And then I just thought, and that was not a good game at all. It was just Illinois from the jump. They rolled them belly to belly. But the real game of the night was Baylor, West Virginia. That game started when we were on the air on Coast to Coast. And that game was just fantastic. It went back and forth. I mean, these two teams were hitting shots like nobody's business. I mean, they were trading barbs. They were trading shots. They were trading threes. They were trading buckets. It went back and forth. There must have been 50 lead changes. It was unbelievable. It was as good a game as any game you'll see in the NCAA tournament, including the championship. It was such a fantastic game. It went to overtime, and Baylor finished them off 94-89. I had Baylor minus 3 with the double cover. Baylor to win on the road in Morgantown against the Huggy Bear, getting involved. Mr. Drew and company, the Baylor Bears, responding after losing to Kansas on Saturday. They turn around, and they win in Morgantown, in a hostile environment. Baylor for real, for the Pharrell. You got to love it. Michigan State just finished off Indiana. Hit both ends of that as well. I had the Spartans tonight at the Breslin. 64-58 was the final. Indiana now under 500. You cannot let Indiana in the NCAA tournament. I don't care what they did in the Big Ten. When you're 12-13, you absolutely suck. And again, I'm going to say it for the 50 millionth time. Archie Miller is awful. He's just done an awful job as head coach in Bloomington. He is as bad as it gets for an Indiana basketball coach. Christ, Kelvin Sampson did better the whole time he was cheating there. I can't even take watching Archie Miller take that program to hell in a bucket and enjoy the ride. Honestly, I can't even take it anymore. I can't watch this guy coach. Meanwhile, they owe him so much G-damn money that they can't fire him. Because Indiana doesn't have that kind of money. They got all the promises in the world when they hire you, but then they can't fire you because they made all the promises. Next year, in March, they can fire him and owe him half the money they'd owe him if they fired him now. If they fire him now, he gets all the money. If they fire him next year, he gets half of the money on his contract, what's left of it. All he's done in Bloomington is mediocrity at best. I mean, he's literally... Now, I don't know the exact number. I really don't. But it's somewhere in the neighborhood of... He's no more than 12 to 20 games over 500 in Bloomington. Now, you have to remember, I'm not even talking about just, you know, that's all games. So he plays all these candy-ass cream puff games every year before he plays Big Ten games, right? So all of his wins are against candy-ass cream puffs. And then he's won Big Ten games, and they've done decent in the Big Ten, decent at best. There is no good, pretty good, not even average. Decent at best. When you're decent at best, you're not even average. Decent at best means you're just average, below average, in my opinion. So the guy's like 12, 15, 20 max over 500 as a coach at Indiana in his time there. And honestly, I hate to even admit it, but it's so true. It's not even funny. Mike Crean was twice as good as Archie Miller. Mike Crean at least got him to the like Sweet 16. He won two Big Ten titles. Archie Miller winning a Big Ten title, I will keel over and die before that guy wins a Big Ten title. Indiana just isn't good. They're not even tough. I'm sick of hearing about Indiana being good in basketball anymore. They suck. They suck. That's all there is to it. They're soft. Trace Jackson, he won't even get drafted, that candy ass. All right, Pharrell on the bench with you, along with Mafia. And real quick, I just wanted to say, Mafia looked it up. 67-56, Archie Miller in Bloomington at Indiana since he's been there. And they lost again tonight. They go to under 500. They're not going to make the tournament. You cannot let a team in the NCAA tournament, in my opinion, that loses out the last 3 weeks of the season, all they do is lose. They haven't won a game in an effing month. All they do is lose. And this guy, honestly, my dog, Boston, can coach better than Archie Miller. Go back to Dayton, you hack. Honestly, that guy, if they didn't have to pay him, they'd fire him next week. But they owe him so much money, and they can't afford to fire him because they wrote up such a crappy contract. And next year in March, they're firing his ass unless he literally wins 25 games. Because he's been so awful. Tom Crean in bed coached better than Archie Miller when he was sleeping with his wife. He was out cold, snoring, and coached better. He won Big Ten titles and took him to a Sweet 16. This guy won't sniff the NCAA tournament. And remember, 67 wins with half of those games are against cream puffs like Hamtramck Tech and Little Sisters of the Poor before they play Big Ten games. So count about 20 of his wins of total cream puffs. The guy can't coach his way out of a wet paper bag. Other than that, though, I got no problem with the guy. Mafia. Jim Suhan is the great columnist with the Minneapolis Star Trib. Always good to get him on to talk on a bench about everything going on in the Twin Cities. Jim, I hope you're well that you had to listen to all of that ravaging diatribe about the Indiana coach. But it brings me to Richard Pitino. So he's the same boat. Those guys should be fishing together out in the, you know, deep water or something for salmon. They could go fishing for salmon or some schnook together because Richard Pitino's done such a crappy job at Minnesota. He's about to get whacked.
It does feel like he's about to get whacked, and it's been a bizarre season. They started off looking pretty lousy. Then they won a bunch of games against against top 10 teams. I mean, it really the most impressive victories we've seen at Minnesota in a long time. And right when they had you believing this is going to be a really special season and the schedule is going to get easier and they're going to breeze into the NCAAs, they absolutely collapsed. And I think Pitino's on his way out. And it's going to be really interesting to see the athletic director, Mark Coyle, you know, because when they hired Pitino, he was about their eighth choice. They couldn't get anybody to take the job. And they went for Pitino because he was the last guy on the list who would take it. It's going to be really interesting to see if Mark Coyle, who was able to hire P.J. Fleck when P.J. Fleck was a top candidate around the country, and Mark Coyle's worked at basketball schools before. It's going to be really interesting to see if he can upgrade the level of coaching at the University of Minnesota because, let's face it, they haven't been good for a long time.
You know, and they play at Penn State tomorrow night, which is so bad, it's not even funny. They're 8-13. Meanwhile, they're favored over Minnesota because I guess the game's in Miserable Valley. That's the only reason I would favor an 8-win team over the Gophers, who have more talent across the board, but they're not even favored against that lousy team. Now, let me ask you, because you brought it up. I love the fact that you brought up Fleck. Because, you know, honestly, like, I'm here in New York City, and I have to just say from an outside perspective, because remember, I remember exactly when they hired him and how hot a commodity he was. But the bottom line is, he's like mayonnaise. I mean, does anyone really like mayonnaise at the end of the day? I mean, it has to be really good on a turkey sandwich. Other than that, I want no mayonnaise in anything. I mean, what has he done with the Minnesota Gopher football program? Are they better? Seriously, are they good at anything? I'm being honest.
Well, actually, I'll say this. Listen, Fleck is he's a salesman, and he drives me, and he's the kind of guy who, if you listen to him and you have any soul, he makes you crazy. But came in, they were terrible they were terrible when he first got here. He blamed everything on his predecessor. He was a complete pain in the butt. But 2019, he took him to a high-profile bowl game. They beat a good SEC team. They produced Tyler Johnson. So he had 1 year that – and again, understand, I'm talking about University of Minnesota athletics here. In the context of University of Minnesota football, he did something they hadn't done in a long, long time. Now, he did it with somebody else's recruits. I'm not going to give him full credit, but he did jack up the program to the point where they go beat an SEC team in a good New Year's Day bowl game, which just doesn't happen around here. So I'll give him that. Now, last year, they backslid and they weren't very good. And now Fleck's going to have to prove that he can win with his own recruits. He hasn't, in the Big Ten, he hasn't proven he can do that yet. But he did have the one really good year.
Isn't like, you know, like, let's face facts. Like, as I was making fun of Miller, the guy Allen at Indiana has done a better job with Indiana football.
Oh, yeah.
In essence, he's done a better job with a program that's even worse than Minnesota's. That guy's done a hell of a job with Indiana football. In fact, for the first time ever in the history of Indiana University, they have the football team's better than the basketball team. I mean, the basketball team's so bad now. Don't even get me started. But I think that guy, Allen's done a better job than Fleck. Even though Fleck had that one moment you're talking about of success, I just don't think it's you know, panned out. I have to ask you, just jokingly, would you rather have, because I would rather have Rick Pitino coaching at Minnesota than Richard, because Rick is, honestly, I'd rather have Rick as an assistant with his dad, and I think his dad is a great coach. He's just had all kinds of problems with everything, you know. I mean, the stuff he's done is almost iconic. I mean, when you think about it, like the I know you're not going to approve of this, but like I do, I still can't get over the lady in the Italian restaurant having an affair with the lady at the Italian restaurant. That's as good as it gets. Now, I like that. I have no problem with that. I think it's funny, but I think he can coach. And I think it's sad that he's at Iona, where I think Rick Pitino should be at a place like Minnesota, because I think if he were coaching the Gophers, they'd be winning.
Well, Rick Pitino is a genius coach. He's a great coach. And he screwed it up in 18 different ways. And the University of Minnesota was dealing with some scandals. I don't think they wanted to have somebody like Rick around. But Rick's a great coach. He's a great coach. His son has had moments. He's had some good players. He beat Louisville in an NCAA tournament game 2 years ago. But he's lost. It's like they've lost the thread. And they've had some injuries, and you can make excuses for them. But what drives me crazy about Richard's coaching is they can't ever seem to go down and say, we need to get a good shot here and get a good shot. It's always incumbent upon the point guard, Marcus Carr, is a very good player, to make some, to shoot a 30-foot three-pointer or to drive between three guys and flip in a backhander while he's getting fouled. It's like you never see easy shots come out of their offense, and I think that's on the coach.
I've watched him play several times, and that's why I suffer as much as the fans in Minneapolis do, because watching Miller coach in Indiana, and I hate to keep bringing them up, but they remind me of each other. It's like watching, the two programs are like watching, two people on a camping trip step in quicksand, and you're the one guy that can't reach him with a stick. I feel like I can't help either one of them. They're both a disaster. All right, now, I got several things I want to talk to you about. First of all, let's set up the parameters around this interview. Hey, Jim, you're not going to be able to do this in one segment. We're going to have to break and come back and do more. It's going to be like, when is Domino at Mafia? He's right away? So I have no time to talk to Jim here? Oh, God. See if Domino can do it at the top of the hour. Mafia's not interested in that plan. But let's see if he can pull that off.
We can always catch up another time, too.
No, I don't like that idea. Right when I'm in the middle of it, like here with you. Like, that's like, my wife saying in the middle of relations that she's got to go make a phone call because I'm boring her. All right, so let me ask you.
That's a horrible analogy, Scott.
I know it's horrible, but it's true. Like, if that happened to me, I'd be finished. Let me ask you, the Wild, what happened last night? They had that game by the throat in Vegas.
It was a hell of a game. It was a great game. But I think Vegas is more talented than the Wild, and I felt like the Wild played a great game for about 15 minutes and just ran out of gas, and Vegas was absolutely relentless and really kind of just put control of the puck, and the Wild defense really wore down. The Wild is not a great team. It's a team that's been mediocre for a long time, and now is getting a boost from Kirill Kaprizov, who's phenomenal. It's still not a great team top to bottom, but Kaprizov has made them dangerous. I still think Vegas is a better team, but all of a sudden the Wild is the more entertaining and more interesting they've been pretty much in their entire franchise history.
All right, real quick, I got 45 seconds. Two quick questions, because I'm up. Mafia's got a gun to my head to get out of this interview. It's unbelievable what he's done to me. Real fast, do you think that the Cat will be traded to the Knicks? Because that's what they're talking about around here. And will the Twins beat the White Sox in the division? I got 30 seconds.
No way the Wolves trade Cat. No way they trade him to the Knicks, unless he pulls a power play and says he's out. They do not want to trade him. I don't believe they will trade him. I think the Twins win a very narrow, entertaining race against the White Sox just because they've been doing this a little bit longer.
All right, and I just wanted to say before I let you go, Jim, we will catch up again soon, and Kirk Cousins is overpaid. Anyway, have a good one,
Jim. Oh, God, yes, he's overpaid.
Thanks, good catching up, buddy. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight.
Thanks, Scott. See ya.
All right, there's Jim Suhan.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This
is the Winning Edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Mafia on Saturday nights plays in that band, Steel Panther. You could tell. He's the keyboardist, and he wears a wig with a perm. Anyway, it was good having Jim Suhan on, albeit short. I screwed that up, Mafia, because I spent 10 minutes talking about Richard Pitino and his father sleeping with a woman in an Italian restaurant. Wasted a lot of time with that, but it was funny. I have to say, you played the clip of me laughing, talking about Dexter Fowler's swollen colon yesterday during the Angels game. That clip was really funny. And then tomorrow you're going to break out the clip of me making fun of Mike Blewett when he fell and broke his rib. Because I laughed twice as hard on that one. That one I laughed twice as hard.
You did.
Have you ever seen me laugh that hard?
Crawling back inside.
Did you think that I was stoned or something or drunk when I was laughing that hard? Because when I was losing it.
No, I've seen you, you know, see like some ridiculous things that you just laugh and lose your mind on. It just depends on what kind of mood you're in. You're in that kind of loopy mood yesterday for some reason.
I laughed. I haven't laughed that hard in like 5 years. I laughed so hard when that guy told the story of falling down in front of his family on the in the front step of his house and breaking his rib. Like, it wasn't funny that he broke his rib. It was so funny when he said he army crawled back into the house.
And anyway, they still made him go get the bagels.
He still had to go get the bagels. You got to play that clip tomorrow on Twitter because that was funny. Honestly, I played the clip of me making fun of the one you ran today of the Dexter Fowler and my daughter, who could care less about me, the show, the TV, the radio, any of it. She wants nothing to do with any of us. She was even laughing because I was laughing so hard. Chris Domino's with 680, the fan in Atlanta. We always like to have Chris on the bench. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Scotty. How about you?
I mean, honestly, like, you'd have to see these clips to appreciate them, because the one, I'm watching the game the other day, and I don't want to get started laughing again because I'll lose my mind, but in the middle of the game, the guy, the announcer said, I don't even know who he is. He's the Angels announcer or something like that. He's like, tune out, and here's Dexter Fowler. He missed half of last season with a swollen colon. I just lost it. I went crazy. I spit out my lunch. It's not funny having a swollen colon, but in the middle of a game, I thought it was like Brockmire. I couldn't believe the guy said it. He was like, two down. Remember like back in the day, two down and here's Murph. And this guy's like, two down. And you know, Dexter missed half of last year with that swollen colon, Bill. The guy's like, it was horrible. And I was losing my mind laughing. Let me ask, game recognized game. Here, being as serious as possible, Mafia has informed me that you don't like Trae Young. They beat the Heat by 14 tonight in Miami, which I can't even believe they won the game, let alone by 14, as awful as they've been. Why don't you like Trae Young? I mean, what's wrong with you?
Look, I'm on the record. There's still time, and I'm not saying that he likes me, and it doesn't matter. Either way, if he likes me or I like him, it doesn't change anything in the universe. I think I'm a little tired of the whole chip on my shoulder story. I think I'm a little bit tired. You know, the chip on your shoulder story is really much more compelling when you actually win something. And look, I've said he looks like a guy who plays at LA Fitness at lunch because he's got an incredible trick. He can shoot from 26 feet. I don't know. I'm a little nervous that he's going to leave. I think that's the thing with me. I think at some point he's going to look around and go, you know, I did my best and the rest of you slobs around here. And I think he's going to go. And it'll be his right when he's a free agent. I won't bemoan the fact. I just get a sense. And look, we've both been doing this a long time. I'm not telling you I'd bat 1,000, but I'm pretty damn good when it comes to knowing why I feel the way I do. And it's harder to explain it. It's just a gut. And I get it. And he had a fourth quarter tonight that mattered. And it was nice to watch this team watch the other guys stink in the fourth quarter instead of them. I think they've underachieved. I know they've been hurt. I know they're trying to figure out rotation. And I get all the stuff that I hear all the time. But I don't know, man. He stinks. And the fact that you're on the outside looking into even the playing game, nobody cares about your injuries. I don't care. You got to figure out your rotation because you got a bunch of new guys. I don't care. I don't think it was, you know, Lloyd Pierce's fault, but I do think now people are starting to talk out of communication problems. 2 years ago, I thought I had two really young, maybe future, if not superstars, right there in John Collins and Trey Young, and I had $80 million to go buy whoever I wanted. And now I'm sitting again this year, four games under 500, firing a head coach, got to figure out if I'm supposed to keep the GM. You know, it's sort of one of those, as somebody wrote, expectations are the easiest way to find yourself pissed off. And that's sort of what I feel. I don't really care that a guy can shoot from 26 feet.
Yeah, but listen, I understand that. I think that that's a fair assessment of his, of their situation. Fair enough? So I think their situation is one of some level of repute. But I will say that you cannot tell me that a guy averaging 26.5, 4, and 9.5 dimes a game, or in his career, 24, 4, and 8, and then this year, 26.5, 4, and 9.5.
Yep.
I don't want to hear it that he's not a good player. And now you may be right. He may want to leave. He may want to leave. You may be right. They suck. The GM, they fired the coach. Now Nate McMillan's running them. But I can tell you right now, he's not your problem. That guy can flat out play, and he does a lot more than shoot threes. He drives, he's dribble drives, he dishes, he lobs, he does all kinds of things. I think that he's a very exciting player, and if they were smart, they wouldn't let him leave.
I don't need exciting. I don't need exciting anymore. Look, why didn't he make the All-Star team? Why isn't he in the 3-point shooting? This is in Atlanta. This is not me determining that he wasn't a backup in the All-Star game. This is not me determining. How's that guy not in a 3-point contest? Well, somebody must feel something about him. Scotty, I'm not telling you I'm right, and I'm not telling you this isn't like the old neighborhood thing where you go, I don't know, I just don't like his face. I'm not telling you I'm mature about this. It's just a gut that I think a lot of it is empty calories. And I think, when a guy doesn't want to look at film, I don't know if that's what it is. I'm not telling you that's the case. It sort of sounds like it when I say it out loud, when you talk about his numbers. I get it. I'm the jerk. You know, it's not him. It's me. I know what I feel. And I feel like it's been empty calories for years.
Did you have guys in your neighborhood like that you, when you grew up, because you're a Jersey guy, did you have guys that you said, when you went home or with your buddy in the car, you said, I just don't like his face.
Yes. And it's probably been said about me. And again,
that doesn't matter.
Like music. When people
it doesn't
tell
matter
you,
what they think of
about
you.
Music.
Right.
Well, it kind of does. Listen, I'm still sensitive at my age, but I'm telling you, my thing when people ask me about music, and people get really pissed off when you don't like the same music they do, I look at them and I go, listen, I just don't understand it. It might be good, but I just don't understand it. That's how I feel about Trey Young. I'm not telling you you're not right. It's me. I just don't understand it.
Right.
It's okay. Like we can still be friends. I just think that at the end of the day, I'm not going to have a lot to show for the fact that this guy's going to put up numbers. I think he's going to want to leave. I don't know, Scott. And here's the thing that bothers me. Like, I'm serious about this part. I was hoping he was going to be so good, sort of selfless, him and Collins, that they were going to be able to do what you need to do in the NBA. Who wants to come play with us? This city is ripe for a winner. It's a great place to live. You know that firsthand. It'd be unbelievable that they'll build you a statue if you win here. But now more and more, I get the feeling that I'm right, and he's not going to be the guy that can pick up the phone and then go get the piece that they need to win here. I think he'll leave before that actually happens. And I think I sit there maybe again, so I don't want to be kicked in the nuts, so maybe I'm just preemptively saying that I just don't like the direction that this is going.
All right, fair enough. So let me ask you, there's a lot of people around here that, and I'm not one of them, that believe that the Mets are better than everyone in the East. Ooh. And I have said over and over, the Braves are still the best team in the National League East. Yeah. But I do think that the division is the best in baseball on paper. Yes. Those teams are all loaded. And I get it. The Dodgers and Padres are better. But the rest of the West sucks. And the real meat of the matter is in the East. And I still think the Braves are the best team. And then people around here in New York, they're convinced. I mean, just absolutely sold. Yeah. They're sold down the Hudson River that the Yankees and Mets are both going to the World Series.
So, look, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Nobody picked them to win the division the last 3 years, and they've done it. So I agree with you. Until you beat the champ, you're not the champ. Do you have to knock them out? No, sometimes you can outpoint them, but you're going to have to go outpoint them. I think what's interesting to me is, like, I'm on record as saying that Charlie Morton pickup for the Braves is the best not talked about pickup in a slow free agency period. No doubt about it. The game has changed in that department because of everything that happened last year. And a lot of guys still unsigned floating around. Charlie Morton to me could end up being, and I really feel this, and I like Charlie. Right. I watched him here when he first came up, but I certainly see, I think Charlie Morton could be the biggest swing factor in the entirety of the NL. And in a year where I got what I got going with Tatis and his new contract, and I got, you know, they might add Josh Hader, and I just watched Bauer go to the Dodgers. Those were all headlines. The Charlie Morton thing was like page four, and I think Charlie Morton could end up being the reason that this team has a better chance than they've had in a really long time. Look, they blew it last year. They were up 3-1 with a chance to shut out the Dodgers, and I do think they were capable of beating Tampa, so they got to live with that. That stinks. The city has to live with that. But I think the Morton pickup could be the one sort of, oh, yeah, somebody's going to look up, like at the end of September, maybe the Braves have a three-game lead and they're about to shut out the division to, you know, make it theirs. And they're going to go, oh, that was the reason as much as anything. There were better players. There were more talented guys. There were younger guys certainly on this team. But I really believe in my heart of hearts, Charlie Morton could be the swing of the whole thing.
I'm with you. Respectfully, I got 1 minute. Pastor, what he did at Georgia Tech after being accused of everything, yeah, and all the problems he had.
Yep.
Tonight, I think they just sent Duke packing for the NCAA tournament, yeah, with that overtime, yep, win in Atlanta. What do you think?
Yeah, look, he had this thing where you get old, stay old, and you had a chance to win. If they didn't go to the NCAA tournament this year, it was going to be heavy on him because he's got everything he wanted. He's finally got seniors on his basketball team. That was a big win, and they're not all beauty contests. You don't have to win a beauty contest. Sometimes you just got to find a way to win. In overtime, they found a way to win this basketball. They almost gave it away. They win the game in overtime. It doesn't matter what happened tonight. They found a win, and they've been. It's been a long time here for any of these teams that we said there was a big win. That's about as big a win locally as we've seen, and I will give him credit. I've been on him, and I've been on that team, and I sort of believe, again, it's a little bit of a Slick Willie syndrome. I keep hearing about, you know, he goes to the press conferences every night that they win a game and he tells you what they haven't done in 31 years. I'm not a big fan of that, but tonight was the night that they needed a win and they got it. And if that doesn't push them, Joey Brackets, Jimmy Two-Tone, Billy the Nose, somebody's got to actually say that this team deserves to be in. I think tonight they proved it.
All right, Chris, great stuff. I'll think of your comment the rest of the night that I just don't like his face. All right, you're the man. It's good hearing from you, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench.
All right, man, you too.
All right, Chris Domino of 680 The Fan in Atlanta with us. We'll take a look at all these games. Suns are up on the Lakers at Staples out of the gates. Punch that guy in the face so bad, Mafia, with the phone number. Honestly, I can't take it. I can't take that guy anymore. Just, oh my God. It's just every day I hear that guy and I just want to beat his face in. I just want to crank him in the face. Mafia's like, why do you get so worked up about the commercials? I just can't. I mean, when I have to hear the same thing over and over again 5 million times and I hear this guy, he grates on me. You know what I think of him now? I think of him when I think of what Chris Domino said. I just can't even stand his face.
Scott, I've been around you for a decade and a half. Nothing of you getting ticked off about the littlest thing surprises me. Come on.
You can't tell me that dude's not painful repeating that phone number 50 times. I want to kill him. I really do. I can't. And that's not a reflection of anything to do with anyone's involvement in any business deals or anything else. I am entitled to my opinion of anyone. I don't care what he's doing. If he's grating on me, I'm just going to say it. And that's that. I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't even know what the guy is selling. All I know is he just keeps repeating the phone number and I want to kill him. How many times do we effing need to hear it? Honestly, honest to Christ. I mean, give it to me two or three times. I've written it down by now. Thanks, Fred.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
I don't need to hear it 75 times in 60 seconds. Christ almighty. Drives me nuts. Honestly.
I'm so weird.
Why are you always yelling?
I just need a, you know, a shrink.
Why are you always yelling?
I don't know. Mafia, have you had any problems with, you know, people you didn't just like their face?
Plenty of times.
Punch them right in the face.
We worked with some.
I think we did. I think we did work with some. We'll talk bad about those people next.
Ever wonder why you have insurance for your car or home, but not your digital life? Meet Webroot Total Protection, your digital bodyguard that includes antivirus, identity protection, VPN, cloud backup, and more. With plans for individuals and families, Webroot takes the guessing game out of cybersecurity so you can get back to living your best life online. Go to webroot.com/audio and get 50% off today. That's webroot.com/audio to get 50% off today. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional.